They haven't even said anything yet, and they're on their feet. I can tell you guys are desperate. And that you need some cheering up. It's a damn good thing I've arrived in Madison. There's nothing worse than a bunch of liberals with George W. Bush as president. Yeah, y'all sitting around contemplating suicide, and it's just terrible. Well, I am here to cheer you up, and there's not a goddamn thing in the world that'll cheer you up more than the happy thought that you don't wake up every morning in Texas. Because if you guys had to do this in Texas, you would be in deep shit. How bad is it? The price of gasoline in Texas has gone so high that women who want to run over their husbands have to carpool now. All right, now let me cheer you up about your governor and your legislature. Our governor, the one who took over after W left, is named Goodhair Perry. And Governor Goodhair has a head of hair that every Texan can be proud of, regardless of party. It is, of course, his only accomplishment. And Goodhair, this is the way it goes in Texas. This is how we make progress and hair reform. Some a year ago, Goodhair appoints a new member of the Public Utilities Commission. It's a former Enron executive. And the next day, the day after the appointment is announced, Governor Goodhair gets a $25,000 check from Ken Lay, who was then still in business. And those with suspicious minds thought there might have been a connection. So the governor was forced to call a press conference and explain how he got the $25,000 check the day after he appointed the Enron executive, and he did explain it to everyone's full satisfaction. He said it was totally coincidental. And so we thought, oh, well, totally coincidental. Thank God for that. Now, in Texas, we do not have a sunshine law. We have kind of like the partly cloudy law. But even under our state law, when you make a major state appointment like public utilities, you have to, the guy, whoever it is, the person, he has to fill out a whole bunch of state forms, and that's public information. That's, you know, tells the background on the guy. So the governor's office, a few days later, releases the form on the new member of the Public Utilities Commission. And we, alert guardian watchdogs of democracy there in the Capitol press room, we're sitting around with our feet up, kind of leafing through the forms, when somebody said, God, ma'am, I think 17 looks funny. You think 17 looks funny, George? And George said, I don't know, Sam. You think 17? Everybody thought 17 looked funny. 17 turned out what the governor's office had done was, before they released the forms to the press, they whited out the answers under 17. And then Xeroxed the forms and released them. It was a really sophisticated cover-up. 17 turns out to be the question where you have to answer if you've ever had any unfortunate involvement with law enforcement. And so we, alert guardian watchdogs of the democracy, were on the trail, and in no time flat discovered this citizen's problem. Couple of minor traffic accidents, and a few years earlier, while out hunting, the guy had accidentally shot a whooping crane, and then he accidentally buried the whooping crane. And as a consequence, he had to pay a $15,000 fine to the Endangered Species Act. And naturally, we put this into papers, and not a soul in Texas gave a shit, because we got a whole state full of hunters, and they're all sitting there going, well, shit, anybody could accidentally hit a whooper, right? But we stayed with the story and further uncovered, second day story, the news that he shot the whooper while on a goose hunt. Now, the whooper is a large bird. The whooper is like 5 feet tall. The goose? Now we got a whole state full of hunters saying, you know, if this some bitch too dumb to tell a whooper from a goose, we don't want him regulating public utilities. That's how we got rid of the guy. Now, the proper way to take hard times, I just thought I'd tell you, our beloved Billy Carr, longtime Texas political organizer who died last year, was talking to a friend of hers about a year before she passed, and her friend said, Billy, how are you doing? And she said, well, goddamn, there's not a Democrat left in statewide office in Texas. We've lost every judgeship in Harris County, and they've impeached my boy up in Washington. And yesterday I found out I have cancer. There was a pause, and Billy said, I think I'll go out and get a pregnancy test. With my luck, it'll come back positive. And this is the way Texas liberals handle hard times. And to further help you handle it, of course, I thought I would bring you a few words from the only president we've got. In his own words, here in the homeland of our country, President George W. Bush is a patient man. And when he says he is a patient man, what he means is he is a patient man. He promises to listen to what has been said here, even though he was not here. And that is gooder than the news that he will read the summaries. On the economy, there is no malfeasance involved here. And malfeasance is gooder than showing how tender the free enterprise system can be. That is our fantastic opportunistic society. Bush firmly believes the death tax is good for people from all walks of life throughout our society. It allows people to work hard to better themselves. If you don't have any ambitions, the minimum wage job isn't going to get you where you want to get, for example. In other words, what is your ambitions? But still, we have pockets of persistent poverty which he refuses to declare defeat. The people there have nothing to do with brie and cheese. On the foreign policy front, this foreign policy stuff can be a little frustrating, whether in French, in English, or in Mexican. But for a century and a half now, America and Japan have formed one of the great and enduring alliances of modern times. Now, in the Middle East, Bush understands that unrest in the Middle East creates unrest throughout the region. There's no doubt in his mind we should allow the world's worst leaders to hold America hostile. Keep in mind, there is no cave deep enough for America or dark enough to hide in. See, we love freedom. That is what they didn't understand. They hate things. We love things. Thank you. How can you not enjoy it? It's true. They're all direct quotes. What can I tell you? Now, let's see. We need to talk about a couple of things. Y'all had some people who might get indicted. I'm so excited for you. This is wonderful news, because I know it hardly ever happens up here, and it's just so interesting. I suspect that they didn't really mean to do it, but that's all right. We in Texas, of course, are looking forward to better times, too. As you know, it's a tradition in Texas. We indict our public officials with great regularity, and we had a good string going on speakers of the Texas House. We had 5 in a row who were indicted. Actually, there was one in there who was not indicted. He was the one who was shot to death by his wife. She was not indicted because in Texas, we recognize public service when we see it. But then, after the five in a row, we got an honest speaker, very boring. Pete Laney had him for 10 years, finally got rid of him. The Republicans have taken over all houses in Texas. They've taken over absolutely everything, including the House of Representatives. And so for the first time, we have a Republican speaker, and we were in great hopes that he would be indicted before he was even being sworn in. But we're still looking forward to that happy day. Anyway, good news across the board down in the great state. In addition to Governor Goodhair, we are looking at a $15 billion deficit and rising. And, of course, we're run by Republicans who have all sworn to take their own lives before they will ever tax anybody another nickel in Texas, which, of course, has a very low rate of taxation, and we have no state income tax whatsoever. So we are bravely embarked on balancing our budget on the backs of poor children. And so far, the Republicans have a program to deal with the $15 billion deficit, so nobody in Texas is in a panic about the deal. Here's what they're going to do. They've already outlawed gay marriage. The threat of gay marriage no longer haunts our lives. They've given legal rights to fetuses, and they've taken the gays and lesbians out from under the hate crimes bill. So this is a program your guys could follow, too, to solve your deficit. We are really, truly having a wonderful time in our state, and I know you all are, too. I think our best bit of budget cutting so far, in addition to kicking the old people out of the homes and cutting the poor children off health insurance and all that good stuff. We had a program that kept thousands of mentally disturbed prisoners who have been released and are on parole and probation. We had a state program that paid for their medications, but we've axed the program. And they'll now be wandering around the state without their meds. So we look forward to that. What else can we do for fun? We have I have to give you an update on Ann. Everybody always asks about Ann Richards. I'm pleased to say that when Ann speaks, they ask her about me. Now, I've seen Annie very recently, and she is just busier than a cranberry merchant at Thanksgiving, and she is spending half her time up in New York City. She's chopping in the tall cotton. She's working for one of those, big public strategy firms where they do kind of political PR stuff, and she likes knowing all these famous people, but she always has many projects, and one of her deals is that she has decided to design the perfect purse. She says that, all we women, we carry around purses, and nobody's ever designed a good one, and so Ann is going to. And the reason I thought that was interesting, she was actually on her way to Puerto Rico to check out some factory, because it turns out the economics of manufacturing purses are such that you can't have it done here, it's too expensive. But she didn't want it, to be some third world country where people were being exploited, so she was going down to check out this place in Puerto Rico. That's when I ran into her. Now, the interesting thing is that Ann never would have lost that first election in 94 to George W. if she had not vetoed the concealed handgun bill. And what happened that year, the legislature passed it, and Ann said she would veto it, and she did veto it. But at the last minute, the National Rifle Association put on a big campaign to get Governor Ann to sign the bill on the grounds that we Texas women would feel so much safer if we could just carry guns in our purses. And Ann said when she vetoed the damn thing, well, you know that I am not a sexist, but there is not a woman in this state who could find a gun in her handbag. So I assume the perfect purse will have a detachable holster. Now, I am here to address you all on a very serious topic. which is the importance of having more fun. Yes. I am just as serious as a stroke about this. What happens to liberals is that we're always running around hearing the sound of jackbooted fascism around every corner. And just because John Ashcroft is the attorney general is no reason to get nervous. Actually, I have this theory. This is a wonderful thing. Alabama, where they apparently have legislators like ours, they got nothing better to do with their time. They're trying to outlaw dildos. And it occurred to me that, of course, Ashcroft could take this nationwide, but it wouldn't be just that he would outlaw dildos. He would go after dildo paraphernalia. So you would be, like, in the Home Depot at 11 at night trying to find C batteries for your flashlight when the long arm of the Justice Department would reach out and haul you in. Okay, what you need to have a better time while standing up for the right and the good and the Constitution in parlous times such as these, when many of our fellow citizens get very excited and accuse us of lack of patriotism. Wonderful, these people. I tell you, these are the most supported troops I have ever seen. Just supporting these troops. We are the supporting troops, supporting the sons of bitches I ever saw. I cannot find a goddamn soul in this country who is not supporting the troops. But, you know, well, it always happens in times of war. Our super patriots get really excited and carry things to excess. And, you know, during World War I, they used to go around and kick dachshunds on the grounds that they were German dogs. You notice people like that never go around kicking German shepherds. Now, what you need in your basic having fun while fighting for freedom kit is imagination and beer. We find them very helpful, both, and I was going to tell you some stories about how it's done. Okay, a few years ago, the Texas legislature had a fit of communism and decided to make Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday a state holiday. Well, as you can imagine, don't panic. It was a compromise package. We kept Confederate Heroes Day. Nevertheless, we now recognize Dr. King's birthday as a state holiday, and of course it upset the Klan. And they announced that they were coming to have a big march and rally. And it's always, you in Wisconsin wouldn't know this, but it's a pain in the ass when the Klan comes to march in your town. It upsets the black citizens, it upsets the Jewish citizens. The skinhead kids turn out to cheer them on from the sidewalk. People get into fist fights. Everybody's mad at everybody for a good 6 months. And, of course, it is your bounden duty as a civil libertarian to stand up for the right of these blue-bellied nincompoops to spew whatever vicious drivel they want to, because it's in the goddamn First Amendment. And this is a stand that will make you about as popular with your neighbors as a whore trying to get into the SMU School of Theology. Not going to do your reputation a damn bit of good, I'll tell you that right now. So a group of us civil libertarians were gathered mournfully around a pitcher of beer down at the Zona Rosa as this event was coming up, and we came up with what we thought was a better approach. Now, we don't have enough cluckers in Austin to have a good march. They had to be bussed in from Waco and Vidor. They got off the buses wearing their little pointy hats on their little pointy heads and commenced to march up Congress Avenue toward the Capitol. They were greeted by several thousand citizens of Austin lining both sides of the street who mooned them as they marched. It made a real nice effect. It was kind of like a wave in a baseball stadium. Moving right along there. The DA announced in advance it was clear to him it was constitutionally protected symbolic speech. He had no problem. The man who taught me how to have fun while fighting for freedom was John Henry Falk. And, some people remember Johnny. I love it. I got another Johnny story I've been thinking about so timely. Johnny had a cousin. Johnny was related to a lot of really weird people down in Texas. And one of his cousins had a sign over the fireplace that said, Robert E. Lee might have give up, but I ain't. And this was back during the war in Vietnam. And Johnny's cousin was real, real big on the war. And he used to say, you know, if they don't like what we're doing for them, they ought to go back where they come from. And that's the way I feel about them Iraqi people. 1 million of them Shiite Iraqi people go marching on Karbala saying no to America. Well, if they don't like what we're doing for them, why don't they just go back where they come from? Texans always have such sensible answers to problems. So what happened was, one hot summer day, which is certainly redundant, I get an alarm call from the lady who is the director of the Central Texas chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union. Not a powerful organization. In a state of high excitement, she informs me that the Austin City Plan Commission is about to destroy the First Amendment. I said, damn. The First Amendment is under fairly steady fire in the great state, but I had not previously counted the City Plan Commission among the forces of jackbooted fascism. Came as an unwelcome surprise. Well, the situation is, in Austin, we have a fundamentalist divine, the Reverend Mark Weaver by name. And Reverend Weaver is hell-bent on driving sin out of Austin, Texas. He has his life's work cut out for him. And Weaver heads an organization called Citizens Against Pornography, and they march around outside the dirty bookstores and movie theaters of our town with signs saying, honk if you hate pornography. Well, I always honk. I do hate pornography, and I feel that they lend a certain je ne sais quoi to our municipal life. They had come up with a plan, Weaver and his group, where we were going to have a new zoning ordinance. And under the provisions of the new zoning ordinance, you could not have a dirty bookstore or a movie theater within so many feet of a home or a school or a church. And, of course, the upshot would be to drive all the dirty bookstores and movie theaters out of our town to the cultural deprivation of the citizenry. Now, I genuinely do hate pornography. But I did not think that it was a good idea to have Reverend Weaver deciding what books we could read and what movies we could see. And so I repaired to the meeting of the City Plan Commission that night and found there 350 Citizens Against Pornography and four of us from the Civil Liberties Union. And I am here to tell you that there is nothing like sitting in the midst of a sea of Citizens Against Pornography to make you notice that your friends look like perverts. Weaver got up to speak first, very fine preacher of that old-fashioned school, and began, as they often do, by announcing that very day, Reverend Weaver had received a telephone call from a lady who lives behind the dirty movie theater on South Congress Avenue. I snapped to attention, that is my neighborhood dirty movie theater. Driving to the meeting that night, I noticed they had a new feature attraction, The Nun's Bad Habit. Yes, said Reverend Weaver. A lady called him and told him that after the 5 o'clock show, on the previous day, a man came out of that theater. He went in the alley directly behind that theater, which is also directly behind that lady's house, and the man there masturbated. 350 people simultaneously went, yes, said Reverend Weaver. That man masturbated that lady as two little girls might have seen that man do that terrible thing, except praise Jesus, she has a large wooden fence around her backyard. Well, with that, we all praised Jesus, and Weaver was off and running. He was cussing sin up one side and down the other, and by the time he got through, it looked bad for the First Amendment. So we huddled and sent up our oldest member, John Henry, and Johnny shuffled up to the microphone doing his well-known impersonation of an enfeebled senior citizen. He was always very courtly, Johnny was, and he said, began by saying, members of the Plan Commission, Reverend Weaver, citizens against, ladies and gentlemen, my name is John Henry Falk. I am 75 years old. I was born and raised in South Austin, Texas, not a quarter of a mile from where the Darty Movie Theater stands today on Congress Avenue. I think you should all know that there was a great deal of masturbation in South Austin before there was ever a Darty Movie Theater on South Austin. Yes, what we need is the right approach,